It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this extremely busy news day as usual. Big news across the pond, as they say this morning. Britain has a brand new prime minister this morning. Boris Johnson has been elected by his capital C Conservative Party over there. Going to be talking a little bit more about that. Bet you didn't know that he was born right here in the United States. Denounced his American citizenship, went back to Britain, and became the mayor of London. And now he is the UK's new prime minister. So, he kind of is Britain's answer to Donald Trump.
Okay. This is a good thing, then.
Very conservative. Now, he's got a lot in his agenda. Brexit, number one. He's got to try to get that deal done, which the outgoing prime minister was not able to do. But also, we have the Iranians that took one of the British tankers, and he's got to work on that. He'll be sworn in tomorrow, so... He's got a day to celebrate his victory this morning and then right to business over there. Also, former Vice President Joe Biden's got a big announcement today. He's announcing a huge left turn in his attitude to the criminal justice system. Now, basically, he's going to overturn a 1994 crime bill that he helped write. And among other things, he's going to want to do away with the death penalty. And spend billions of dollars on kind of reducing sentences for a lot of folks and also dealing with what he refers to as prejudice amongst police officers. So that ought to be interesting. And then there's also a lawmaker in Georgia who keeps changing her story about being told by somebody, a customer at a grocery store. She said that he told her to go back from where she came from. She's African-American. And now she's kind of adjusted her story once again. So that story is unfolding as well. As always, we're watching what the squad has to say these days. One of the squad members, Congresswoman Tlaib of Michigan, now saying she would like to see a $20 minimum federal wage. It just keeps going. But they're known certainly for their controversy. And we want to talk to a well-known voice here on American Family Radio about the squad this morning. She is Dr. Alveda King, Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn for Priests for Life, and niece, of course, of Martin Luther King Jr. Good morning, Dr. King. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, American Family One News. Good morning to you. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice
Amen.
And be glad in it.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, you know, your reference to scripture is good because I saw a quote from you last week I found kind of interesting. Let me read the quote. The squad,
okay.
I'm quoting here, Dr. King, the squad, a self-avowed gang of beautiful, powerful Jezebel-esque women devoted to stirring up strife and mayhem. They should know better. All right. I think most of our listeners, Dr. King, know who Jezebel is from Scripture. So how did you put the squad together with Jezebel of the Bible?
Well, you know, I read through the Bible every year. I'm a member of the church, Believers Bible Christian Church in Atlanta. We read the Bible, then we act accordingly. And I had just kind of been reading about Jezebel again. Jezebel was the queen. Her husband was Ahab. And one particular instance stood out to me. Her husband wanted a piece of land, and the man wouldn't sell it to them. And he was upset, so his wife says, well, I tell you what, let me fix this. So she just ordered somebody to kill the man, and then they took his land. So here we are with ladies on the squad, and they called themselves the squad, and we didn't name them that, I guess, or maybe somebody named them, I don't know. But their position is this: we don't like your Constitution, and we don't like your president, but we want what you have. So they try to just destroy everything that's beautiful about America and to take it. And I said, that's kind of like Jezebel. So that's where that came from. It wasn't necessarily a slight to them as human beings or as individuals, but their actions are speaking very loud.
You know, it's interesting, and a lot of people believe that they believe, these four women believe, that they are the new face of the Democratic Party. They're not happy with their own party, let alone President Trump. And they seem to, Dr. King, like to throw the word racist around to end any criticism of anything that they are proposing. And, you know, your uncle, MLK, he fought real racism in this country, but I question their sincerity when basically they call anybody who disagrees with them a racist.
This is true. And, you know, they are women of color. Everybody's color, and we're not colorblind. I'm writing Ginger Howard, and I look for our book. We'll explain why we can't be colorblind, because if you're blind, you need glasses, either spiritually or actually. And Jesus gives sight to the blind. But these ladies who are calling themselves women of color are not even African-American women, pretty much, you know. And so here they are proclaiming to be something that they're not, with an agenda that is very, very destructive. And they hate our country. They don't like America. And as you say, they really don't even like things that their own party stands for, certainly not the president, certainly not Christian values. And it just goes on and on. And, you know, as the face of the Democrat Party, that's why I say they should know better. That's outrageous. And I noticed that you said something about Brother Biden as well. And now he's coming back up to try to undo some things he did. And he's doing it because he wants to win. That's the only reason he doesn't. Well, you never know exactly what somebody really thinks. But he could have done this a long time ago. And he didn't do it. And now all of a sudden, he's really just jumping on the president's bandwagon. I hope people can see that.
I know that you've voiced support for President Trump. Were you a little bit taken aback, or did his first references last week in that tweet with regards to these women should go back from where they came from, did that disturb you at all, or did you interpret it a different way than the mainstream media did?
No, I always listened to the president. Like when he was running for office, he said, black people, I want your vote. What do you have to lose? I said, wow. That's a good question, sir, but what do we have to gain? And he's not only showed us what we had to gain, he's been giving it to us in the area of sanctity of life, where more African-Americans are at risk than anybody. He's reversed that, criminal justice reform. He's reuniting families, reuniting American families. I think my goddaughter, Angela Stanton King, is on her way to D.C. to meet at the White House today. She's a reformed felon, and she's a married woman raising her children, giving back to society. So President Trump and jobs, our people were not working. America needed to work, but certainly African Americans. And I would say, you know, if you give people a job, they won't have time to break in your house. So crime is going down. So, and that's even black on black crime and racist crimes against us. So racism, Acts 17:26, and our listeners probably do know the scripture quite well, of one blood God created humanity. One human race. We're not even separate races. We're different ethnic groups. We can see each other. We can celebrate each other. But to divide over the skin color and to keep stirring that up is outrageous.
You're a member of President Trump's advisory board, Women for President Trump. What is the work of that group of what you refer to as very powerful women?
Our group is here to inform, educate, and activate America's communities to do what women do. We nurture, we help to build. We are very creative, and we are very life-affirming. So our job is to just assist the president in making them, keeping America great. I think that's the new motto, make America great again, and then now keeping America great. And there are so many areas, and President Trump has so many women appointees. He has African-American appointees. Don't let the fake news tell you he doesn't. Of course he does. So we're very grateful. The Sanctity of Life, I'm over at Director of Civil Rights and Unborn at Priests for Life, Criminal Justice Reform. He's given so much to the historically black colleges and universities. Gave us the first park, National Park, in honor of an African-American, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Doctor, my uncle, my daddy A.D.'s brother. I don't know if you missed this, but man walked on the moon 50 years ago, and my daddy was transported to heaven, A.D. King, 50 years ago, and we celebrated his beautiful legacy on Sunday as well. Really? I miss my dad, by the way.
I bet you. Well, would he be surprised at where we are in this country today in the battle, the spiritual battles we're facing?
You know what my daddy, A.D., would love, my granddaddy, Daddy King, my uncle, Emil, would love? That we have not forgotten 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, that means we have to repent. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And they would remind us, Acts 17:26, we are one blood, we can be a family, and we have to love each other because Jesus gave that. God gave us Jesus, his son, as the ultimate sacrifice.
Dr. King, do you get an opportunity to share what you just shared with us with the president from time to time? And if so, what's his
absolutely
response?
Absolutely. I do, and I go to some of the prayer meetings as well, and I just tell him what a blessing he and his family are to us. And so the president has, I'm a spiritual advisor on the Trump 2020, but kind of slows you down, but and moves you forward. He has so many beautiful spiritual advisors, wonderful people who love the Lord. So many people praying across America, praying for him who's in authority and all of those who are in authority that we can have peaceful life. So I pray for the squad, Brother Biden, Brother Kaepernick, all of that. I pray. I really do. And America, we have to come together. We have to pray.
So you frame things, you know, we talk about political battles, but I've heard it said, and I'd like your comment on this. This is really a spiritual battle that's going on in our country right now.
This is a spiritual battle. We battle not with flesh and blood, but demonic principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But then, if we believe and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are seated in heavenly places, even high above all that. And that's why I really have to watch it. I'm glad I'm getting the opportunity to explain why I said that squad is Jezebel-esque. They're under the influence of spiritual wickedness, you know. So I'm not talking about them, and I don't hate them, but they really do need some help, and obviously they need great prayer.
Amen. Well, listen, always a pleasure to talk with you, Dr. Alveda King, Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn for Priests for Life, and niece, of course, of MLK Jr. Thank you so much for what you do, and we'll pray for you, because I think has put you in a very key position as a spiritual advisor to our president. And knowing you, you are going to continue to use that position to have an influence on him. Thank you so much.
I'll do my best, and we are all, when I go, we all go. So let's go and keep praying for the president.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Alveda King. All right. There you have it. We're going to be talking a little bit more about the squad, because you'll remember in the president's initial tweet there last week, he said he was disgusted with the squad for a couple of reasons, one of them being that they are so anti-Israel. And our next guest is going to talk about that, in particular, Congresswoman Omar, who is now called for the country to take part in a boycott, divest, and sanction against the nation of Israel. We'll be talking to Dr. Michael Brown when we come back after the break. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy on this Tuesday. Back in a moment.
When an abortion-minded woman walks into a preborn pregnancy center, she encounters love and compassion and gets to meet her baby by ultrasound.
And I was like, I'm going to go to the abortion clinic. and I already had my mind made up.
This mom didn't make it to the abortion clinic. Instead, God led her to a preborn center.
And the lady is giving me my ultrasound. She's like making these weird faces, and then she's like, it's two. And I'm like, I just start crying. I start texting my friends, and like, I can't.
The Ministry of Preborn was able to help this mom save not just one life, but two through ultrasounds. Preborn centers help save babies' lives and souls. Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Leonard Alahar, Director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Mr. Alahar oversees the office in charge of producing U.S. currency. Philippians 4:19 reminds us of another type of currency, the riches which come from the Lord. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Leonard Alahar as he works to maintain quality assurance in our nation's currency. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us for summer, a season of prayer, as we come together in faith to make a difference in our country through the power of prayer. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A knitting community unravels over politics. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Americans who want to make knitting great again are no longer welcome on Ravelry, a popular online community for knitters and crocheters. The owners say they cannot provide a space that is inclusive if they allow people who support white supremacy. Therefore, they are banning all public supporters of President Trump. Ravelry says if you support the president, you also support white supremacy. So that means no more patterns for Trump mittens or Make America Great Again hats. While President Trump patterns may be banned, there are still plenty of other designs on their website for Obama hats and Bernie Sanders dolls. Anybody know how to crochet the word double standard? Ravelry told conservatives to keep their opinions to themselves, lest they too be banned. In other words, don't ask, don't tell. Well, I guess Ravelry is not such a tight-knit community after all. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Well, Congresswoman Omar Tlaib Presley and AOC, as my colleague Ed Vitagno says, AOC is not a condition, it is a person. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they are known as the Squad, and like them or not, they have a way of grabbing headlines. And you remember last week, president spoke out about them, and maybe it's some people say political strategy to paint them basically as the face of the Democratic Party. They like to throw around, as we're just talking to Dr. Alveda King, the word racist around, and they even don't mind accusing their own in the Democratic Party, i.e. Nancy Pelosi, veiled threat, but basically referring to her as being racist, as they referred to themselves as women of color. But you know what was interesting last week? The president, in his initial tweet, talked about he was disturbed by what the Squad stands for. One of the things he mentioned was that they are anti-Israel. And that got a lot of people's attention, and certainly one of those has been speaking out about what Congresswoman Omar has had to say, because she's now put forward a resolution for the United States to back a movement that's been around for a while now, the so-called BDS movement, boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel. And one of those speaking out against that is our good friend, Dr. Michael Brown, host of the National Syndicated Line of Fire radio program and author of the book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. And Dr. Brown joins us this morning. Dr. Brown, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good to be with you.
And it's good to have you with us. And we follow you, and your columns often appear on the One News Now website. Well, first of all, as I mentioned, Congresswoman Omar proposed this resolution last week that would support the anti-Israel BDS movement. First, explain for our audience, what is this BDS movement is all about?
Yeah, this is a movement that is seeking to hurt Israel. BDS stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanction. So you boycott Israel. If you have investments in Israel, companies and things like that, you divest, you pull out. And then with that, sanctions against Israel. So what you want to do is try to hurt Israel economically so that Israel will step away from its alleged apartheid policies or genocidal policies and will now back away from its alleged mistreatment of the Palestinians. So that's what the movement is about. And thankfully, there's a lot of resistance to it in the United States, even a move to make it illegal to participate in this, because this would be looked at as bigoted and harmful behavior against Israel. So Omar's resolution was to say, hey, this should be perfectly acceptable. In fact, Congress should be behind something like this. And then, in an extraordinary moment, an unbelievable blind spot speech, she suggested that, look, this is what we've done in the past. Just like we boycotted the Nazis during the time in Germany, we boycotted Germany in the days of the Nazis, we should do the same thing now. So she paints a moral equivalency between the Nazi slaughtering of 6 out of 9 million Jews in Europe to Israel's alleged mistreatment of the Palestinians. I mean, she could not have possibly picked a worse example. But she has a history with Israel. She spoke of how Israel has hypnotized the nations, and it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about money. I mean, standard anti-Semitic tropes. She specializes in them, and then she doesn't consider herself anti-Semitic or anything. To me, it's a massive blind spot. It is being raised in Somalia as a Muslim and having a certain view of the Jews, having a certain view of Israel, and she doesn't even realize the degree of her anti-Semitism. But for anyone to make the comparison she made, something's wrong. And she's doing it as an elected representative in the House. That's the scary part.
Well, it's the scary part, too. But, you know, since she put that resolution forward last week, within days after what the president had to say about the squad, I have not heard, and I'm saying I have not heard that maybe there's some, but I haven't heard any Democrats coming out and condemning her.
Yeah, so here's what we're dealing with. President Trump can put out a tweet, and is it racist or not? There's debate about it. I didn't like the tweets, but I didn't think they were racist. That's the only concern. You can do what she did, no big deal. You can make anti-Israel or anti-Jewish statements. Others on the squad have done that very thing. No problem. The Democrat Party is very, very slow to condemn its own over outright anti-Semitic comments. The media as a whole, which you would think is going to stand up, speak up, is relatively silent on this. So could you imagine, turn things around, if Trump was to say something half that bad, that's all you'd hear about for the next 6 months. CNN, that would be their fodder that would carry them for the next 6 months. And here's my larger concern. You mentioned my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. Initially, it came out in 1992. It charts the history of anti-Semitism in the church and society. It's become kind of a classic book that's been never gone out of print, translated into many languages by God's grace. Well, the publisher and I decided I should do an update on it. So I spent months researching, updating things, and talking a lot about the increase in anti-Semitism in our society today. The book comes out in September, the new edition, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, and I have to tell you candidly, it was shocking to see how things have shifted since when I first wrote the book in the early 90s until today, how things that would have been unacceptable are becoming increasingly acceptable right here in America. You even have alleged evangelical news networks spouting anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, the standard lies. And one rabbi said he never thought he'd see this happen in post-Holocaust America, and yet it's happening in front of our eyes. And as you say, there's relative silence about it. That is shocking.
Well, we were just talking with Dr. Alveda King a few moments ago, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked her. Frame this in connection with spiritual warfare in this country, because I think this is satanic. This hatred of Israel, this hatred of the Jewish people, it can only be explained, I think, spiritually.
Well, it's fascinating that you say that. There's a whole chapter in my book that goes through all the various theories of anti-Semitism, why it exists, and each one falls short. Each one fails to explain it. I've done lectures at college campuses, Ivy League campuses, where I say, okay, here's the phenomenon of anti-Semitism worldwide. Here's the history of it. And we go through it, the world's longest hatred, the most widespread hatred, the most irrational hatred. We go through all the different things. Then we go through all the theories, and we try to connect the dots, and they don't connect. And the only explanation, and I've done this, as I say, at university campuses with Q&A after, and been challenged by professors and students, and no one can rebut it. The only rational answer is it's satanic, that Satan wants to wipe out the Jewish people, and that with the wiping out of the Jewish people, he destroys God's plan of redemption, because a Jewish Jerusalem must welcome back the Messiah. And the Jewish people have been uniquely chosen by God. I believe we've been specially gifted. When we get things right, we have a very positive impact. When we get things wrong, we have a very negative impact. And the world will seize on the negative and then demonize the Jewish people as a whole. But I'm absolutely with you. The only way to connect the dots is to realize that Satan is actually behind this. And it's interesting you mentioned spiritual warfare. I have a book actually coming out in 2 weeks called Jezebel's War with America, where I connect the various dots of what's happening in our society, from the Shout Your Abortion movement that Dr. King would be so involved with, pushing back against that, the Shout Your Abortion movement, the radical feminism, the seduction of porn, the rise of witchcraft, all these different things, and say they're related. There's a common spiritual root to all of them. It can't be denied. To me, that's the only spiritually rational conclusion.
Now, you just mentioned a few moments ago, and your shock at the fact that there's even in certain circles of the evangelical community in our country a turning against Israel. Can you explain that to us at all?
Yes. Unfortunately, there are lies that have circulated against the Jewish people for centuries, that the rabbinic writings, the Talmud and things like that, sanction pedophilia, that Jews have been guilty of ritual murder, especially during the certain seasons of the year, like Passover, that the Jews are parasites and just prey on the countries where they're found and sap the life out of them, one thing after another. And then lies about modern Israel today, as I mentioned, that it's allegedly a genocidal state or an apartheid state. For whatever reason, you then join that together with verses in the New Testament where Jesus is rebuking Jewish leaders, or to saying to some Jews, you're of your father the devil, or verses that Paul would talk about being persecuted by Jewish leaders. And now these verses become spiritual proof that, aha, the Jews as a people are evil. Look at what they've done through history. Look at how bad their literature is. Look at how they've been kicked out of country after country. Forget they've been kicked out of countries because they refused to convert to Catholicism or they refused to convert to Islam and they were kicked out of countries. No, forget that. They're the bad ones. So it's a misreading of the New Testament coupled with the repeating of standard anti-Semitic lies. And of all places where you would hope to not see anti-Semitism, it would be the church. And yet, through history, the church has often pushed Jews away from Jesus, persecuted Jews in Jesus' name. That's why I wrote Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, to open up Jewish eyes and say, hey, this has happened, but it's not who the real church is, and to open up the church's eyes and say, please, We've got to repudiate these things. And for years and years, evangelicals have been demonstrating a real love for Israel and showing the Jewish people that Christians genuinely care for Israel and support the Jewish people. And now, to my shock, we're seeing a terrible erosion of that. We're also seeing a younger generation that doesn't know anything about the Holocaust, that doesn't know about the miracle of the modern state of Israel, that sides with the perceived oppressed ones, which in this case they see as the Palestinians, and therefore Israel is evil and Israel must be resisted. So a lot of things are coming together that we must sound the alarm, otherwise trouble's at hand.
Talking with Dr. Michael Brown, he's host of the National Syndicated Line of Fire radio program. Do you have a website where you can go to learn more about your thoughts about all of this? And I want to also want to find out more about your new book, This Jezebel's War with America.
Yeah, if folks go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, they can listen to the show every day. We put out several articles a week, as you mentioned, often carried on One News Now. And Jezebel's War with America, they can go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. So AskDrBrown.org, JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com. You look at Jezebel in the Bible, you see the type of woman that she was. You see the influence she had on Israel. And you recognize that there were demonic spirits working through her because she was so powerful, she even intimidated the prophet Elijah by fear. And now you look and see the same demonic spirits operating today in America. It's like you go to a doctor and you've got six different symptoms of different things in your family, and the doctor says, oh, actually, it's the same disease, and it's running through your family, and we can treat it. What we need to see is that a lot of things going on in our society that we think are separate and unrelated are actually part of the same spiritual warfare. So, yes, we have an earthly responsibility. Yes, we get involved politically. We do all that. But we recognize behind the scenes, this is what we would call a Jezebel attack, these various demonic forces coming together the same way to destroy the church and the fabric of our society. And we don't want to be punching the air. We want to understand what's happening and therefore deal with it effectively.
Think the church is ready for this spiritual warfare?
No. I think that we have been very complacent, that we have been lulled to sleep with the carnal prosperity gospel that we've been hearing so long. It's all about me. And that even when we get involved in moral issues, we tend to get involved primarily in a political level. The good news is that so much damage has been done and so many people are hurting that it shouldn't be too hard to get people to wake up and connect the dots. But now we need to be personally revived because we can't fight Satan in our earthly power. And we've got to come back to the Lord. What has to happen is this has to start with a wake-up call to ourselves, with a turning back to God. We can't take on Jezebel nationally until we take on Jezebel personally. So it's going to start with personal awakening in our own lives. But Jesus is more than willing to help his people. The Holy Spirit is here to help. If we'll truly lean on the Lord, awakening can come. If we stay asleep, boy, it's going to be big trouble.
Dr. Michael Brown, such a delight to talk to you this morning. The book is called Jezebel's War with America. Now, I'm told it comes out August the 6th, but can you pre-order?
Yes. Actually, I don't know what the publisher was thinking,
okay,
but they went overboard. If folks go to JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com, if they go there now, and when they pre-order, they'll get the ebook free, another one of my ebooks free, another mini ebook free, two videos free, over $50 of free material when they simply pre-order the book. So now's the time to do it. It's been number one bestseller on a number of categories on Amazon already. There seems to be real interest in the book. So JezebelsWarWithAmerica.com, pre-order today, and you'll be super blessed. I think they send you the first three chapters to read immediately.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Michael Brown, thank you so much. God bless, sir. All right, time to hear from you, 888-589-8840. Are you up to date on the spiritual battle that Dr. Brown's been talking about? Are you ready for it? Is your church ready for it? 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We'll hear from you when we come back. Sandy Rios of the Morning on a Tuesday. Right back.
And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. for it was not the season for figs. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. From a distance, the fig leaves gave Jesus the impression that there was fruit on the tree. Upon closer inspection, the tree was fruitless. Perfect church attendance and ministry activity cannot replace actual Christ-like fruit produced in our lives. From a distance, it can appear as though we're bearing fruit, but what would we find with a closer look? Are we content with fruitful appearance, or do we yearn for the real thing?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The regressive left cannot be reasoned with, they can only be defeated. This is because everything for them is emotion. The only time they use reason is to support positions they've arrived at purely by feeling. One example is the tragic picture of the illegal alien father and his daughter drowning as they tried to sneak into America. Anyone with a heart is moved by that picture. But the question is this: what does compassion do about it? The first thing compassion does is ask, what can we do to make sure this never happens to another father and daughter again? Insisting that people apply for asylum only in their home countries or at ports of entry will effectively discourage fathers from trying such dangerous things in the future. Guess that makes President Trump the compassionate one after all.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Saturday marked the 50th anniversary of the first successful dispatch of men to the moon and their safe return to Earth. The right stuff was evident in America's extraordinary technology, resources, and national resolve. While the United States has done much in outer space ever since, today we are at risk of ceding the high frontier. Particularly ominous is the bid now being made by communist China to dominate the so-called Earth-Moon system as a military theater. Such a development would have dire implications for both our economic and national security. For example, both critically depend upon satellites with which the Chinese are increasingly capable of interfering. There isn't a moment to lose in standing up the U.S. Space Force and ensuring it has the visionary leadership we'll need for another 50 years of safety and success in space and here below. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And good Tuesday morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Hope your commute is going well this morning. Yeah, I like talking about the weather. I actually drove into work this morning with the window down. We got, we're living in the southeast here. It is July 23rd, and normally we're baking here, and we have been baking lately, but there's a nice breeze out of the north this morning, Rob.
Oh, it's beautiful. I was surprised. I let the dog out the door this morning, and I didn't go out. I wished I had, because I'd probably gone out there and had a cup of coffee, but it is nice.
We praise the Lord for this little reprieve.
Yeah.
I'm not under any illusions that summer is over yet, but it sure is nice to have a little bit of a break
it really
in
is.
All of this.
It's beautiful.
And a break from all the rain that we've had. be praying for folks who have really been hurt by all of this rain lately. Louisiana, other states, flooding is still a problem. And so be praying for those folks as they continue to recover from all of this. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We talked with Dr. Alveda King early on in the show this morning about her description of the squad, the four Democrats that you're all familiar with now, and her description was they are Jezebel-esque. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I did not know prior to interviewing Dr. Michael Brown a few moments ago that he has a new book out called Jezebel's War with America.
Wow.
It was fascinating how that came together this morning. But what both Dr. Alveda King and Dr. Michael Brown are talking about is the spiritual warfare going on in this country, and using the account of Jezebel in Scripture, the wickedness that is out there, the spirit of Jezebel is anti-God and doing anything that is possible to stymie the gospel message in our country, to stymie the truth, to turn people away from God, to turn people away from the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And so we are, as you heard Dr. Michael Brown just mention, we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. The politics is a symptom of the spiritual warfare that's going on in this country. And you heard Dr. Michael Brown says he fears that the evangelical community, the church in America, is really still not ready for this spiritual warfare. The sensitivity to what is going on out there has not been raised sufficiently in our churches. So our question to you is, 888-589-8840, the number to call. Our question to you is, are you personally ready? Because Dr. Michael Brown said we have to look at ourselves first, individually. Are we ready? Are our churches ready? And what can we do about it? So let's go to our phones right now to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. So much for global warming, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, but I am. I'm fighting it every day on the battlefields as a teacher in the school system in Tennessee. I mean, the spiritual warfare is real. I hate that the women were even voted into office. It just shocks me who's getting voted into office these days. But the thought that I had was that we have to stay prayed up and ready for this warfare, because it's coming whether we like it or not. And there's a website called World's Last Chance, 15 Characteristics of the Beast. If you type that in, you can see how this whole beast system worldwide seems to be coming together. And it's starting with the spiritual warfare. And we know that in the end times, you know, when that mark of the beast comes about, before it comes about, the Christians will not be willing to worship the Antichrist. And because of that, many will be killed, etc. So I'm watching this whole scenario that seems to just be coming together to create a perfect situation for all of that, and praying and also working every day to try to bring more people to the Lord. He said he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen, Shirley. You know, you mentioned you're a teacher in the public school system. What kind of opposition do you see? What kind of manifestations of this spiritual warfare do you see in the school system?
Some is administration. Oh, my goodness. But theirs may be coming from higher. I don't know. But a lot of teachers who don't know the Lord, when you've got people working with children and those people don't know the Lord, but yet they want the children to behave and do what they're supposed to do and act like perfect saints, it doesn't work out. The children will mimic what they see. So that's one erosion that we see in the school system. We need people in there, in the game, who love the Lord, because they can have an influence on the children. And I think that will work better than really anything else. If our colleges, imagine a world in which our colleges are filled with God-fearing Christian teachers.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine every school that your child goes to, they have God-fearing Christian teachers. The devil couldn't defeat them.
Amen. Shirley, thank you so much. And we'll be praying for you as you continue on your front in this spiritual battle. All right, let's go to Arkansas. I want to get as many calls as we can in. And we say good morning to Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say I was at a book club for a church, and they asked about your favorite book. I read a lot of different books, so I mentioned a book that had talked about apostasy in the church, mm-hmm. and nobody said a word. Everybody else's book they made comments on, everybody just sat there. And then I said, you know, how the Bible says that in the end times, a lot of people just think there'll be a great revival. And I mean, I know there are in some countries, but that there'll be apostasy in the church. So anyway, it was quiet.
But Lynn, that's very interesting, because in order to recognize apostasy, you have to know God's word. Because if you're not into right. God's word, you're not going to recognize. So I guess to a certain extent, it doesn't surprise me that they really didn't know what you were talking about or couldn't comment on it, because their awareness level isn't there, because they're not into God's word the way they should be.
Well, the church actually preaches the Bible verse by verse, mm-hmm. but, you know, it hasn't touched on that recently, so I don't know. But I am looking for a church right now, and honestly, it is really difficult, as you can imagine. Amen. Some of the things that I see, I went to church with a friend, a new one, last weekend, that formerly was a pretty grounded church, and it was, I can only say, weird. It was weird, it was depressing, and she agreed, too. It wasn't just me. It was different.
All right, Lynn, thank you so much. Very interesting that Lynn mentions that. Dr. David Jeremiah, who you hear here at American Family Radio on Monday through Friday, he has done an interview with the Christian Post, and he basically is raising the alarm of what is going on in our churches today. It's a very interesting article if you get a chance to read that. All right, let's head out to Oklahoma this morning and say good morning to Kenny. Kenny, how are you?
Good morning, sir. Good to talk to you again. Praise God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The majority of the church is not ready for the battle that is coming. The majority of the church loves entertainment more than they love God. They've been taught that they can have the best of both worlds. They've been taught they can have the Lord Jesus Christ and still watch the filth of the world on television and DVDs, and that will not work. The pastors of America, the preachers of America need to be telling their congregations, you cannot watch movies that use profanity and have the love of God in your heart. You cannot listen to music that glorifies adultery and drunkenness and drug addiction. That includes country music, pop, rock, rap. You cannot listen to that music and have the love of Christ in your heart. You cannot watch the movies that use the profanity and have the love of Christ in your church. The majority of the people that go to church in America are indulging in this filthiness of the flesh. It will push Christ out of your heart. Our preachers must preach against worldliness. We must get back to praying and fasting, because there is a battle coming, that's for sure. And there will be a remnant, and by the grace of God, I will pray and will be a part of that remnant. But you cannot love the world and love God. In conclusion, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you.
Thank you, sir. All right, Kenny. Thank you so much. Yeah, the Bible's very clear. We're to be in the world, but not of it. And there is a difference. And, you know, if the unsaved world is not seeing a difference in our lives, and that doesn't mean, you know, you walk around with kind of a pious attitude all the time. It simply means that you're willing to speak up in love against what's going on in our world today and point people to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says we must be always ready to give an answer. And I have found that is the greatest opportunity is when people challenge you as to why you act in a certain way or don't go to here, you know, when you don't use the Lord's name in vain, when you're in that kind of crowd, and you don't laugh at their filthy jokes. They often ask, well, what's wrong with you? That's an open door, because when people are asking you questions, I think that's just the Spirit opening that door for you to give a testimony. But we have to be brave enough to do that. Stacy in Texas. Good morning, Stacy. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had just a couple of points. Can you hear me okay with Bluetooth? I just took it off of Bluetooth.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, I'll be quick.
Okay.
I'll be really quick, sorry. On the note about loving the world, I find that when I'm closest to the Lord and I'm doing the things that please Him, I'm in the Word, I'm loving others, there tends to be less time for those worldly things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for myself, if I'm not focusing on don't do this and that, I'm not saying that the gentleman that just spoke isn't right. He is. But I find that when I'm really in worship with the Lord and loving others, those things fade. Mm-hmm. Those things just naturally by the Spirit of God fade. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hopeful. That when we get into prayer and find ways, you ask the question, you know, are we ready as church? Personally, I find I need to spend more time first in the morning with the Lord. I need to prepare myself. No, I don't think the church is ready at all. I think we're lazy. I think we are enamored with entertainment. I do think we have way too few Bible studies and more studies about the Bible than into the Bible in depth in prayer. I think we lack in the church until we get those tools right that God's given us to be connected spiritually, to be led by His Spirit, and to let our husbands, you know, to pray for them more daily. I think that we have to get serious about that, and I'm speaking to myself first, and connected as a church, praying for each church, you know, for one another, and then loving the world the way God wants us to love people in the world. When I say love in the world, I mean the people of the world. We need to love others as God has us to love them, not this Milky Way that we're hearing that we love. Love is not a fluffy sort of worldly do what and support what others want to do to harm themselves, but to love them enough to be honest, to tell the truth, and to be there when God calls us to be. That's my thought.
All right, Stacy. That's a really good thought, you know, that we love the world like Jesus loved the world, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But also, I think Stacy makes an important point there. Loving the world does not mean appeasing the world.
No.
Or trying to get the world to like you. Because once that becomes your goal, that's going to end up in a compromise of Scripture. Because people hate the truth of God's Word. They do.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And what you're saying from God's Word bothers them. And they, you know, in there is that, I was just listening to Dr. James Dobson this morning, there is that hole in our heart that only God can fill.
Right.
And it's our job just to introduce people to that and to be faithful to Him. All right, it's been fun this morning, always, to fill in for Sandy. And it's been a blessing. And I hope it's been a blessing to you folks as well, and food for thought as you start your day on this Tuesday, July 23rd. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Much more great programming here at American Family Radio as always. Thank you for being a blessing to us folks as you support us, and I hope that we can be a continued blessing to you. Have yourself a great day. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.